Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, it is the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. One game left in Major League Baseball, and boy, it's a big one. Giants and the Padres knotted up at five apiece. Giants batting in the top of the seventh inning. Pitching change coming up. As if the Padres hold on to win this game, the Giants and Dodgers will be tied for first place in the NL West. It got close a couple weeks ago. The Dodgers-Giants had that big weekend series. Giants took two out of three, and the Giants pushed their lead out to three, but both the Giants and Dodgers are playing at such a high level. It's almost unfair that everybody else gets to play in the playoffs, too, because they've been playing so well for so long. Look, the Cardinals have been great. They won 10 in a row. That's the junior varsity compared to what the Giants and Dodgers have been doing. So somebody's going to have to play in that one game, playing likely against the Cardinals, so good luck there. That's why it's such a big, big night tonight. Again, Giants and the Dodgers and the Padres tied at five apiece in the top of the seventh inning.
I like the chaos aspect of it, right? All of this work can be undone with one good start by one of these also-ran teams. Let's call it what it is, right? Because certainly here in Los Angeles, where you and I reside and do the show here for Fox Sports Radio, and wherever you're listening across the globe, thanks for being part of our family, whether you're live or on Memorex, you know, podcast form. We appreciate you. But that's been a lot of the angst and hand-wringing of it all could come down to a start against Blake Snell. And if he is on, as he was, remember, because he had those four games in a row where he got deep into the seventh inning, no hitters or one hitters, and he goes on a roll. All of a sudden, everything you did right, all of the things you navigated through, Dustin May, Clayton Kershaw, the whole Trevor Bauer situation, obviously you get the upgrade, Max Scherzer showing up. But all of that, Cody Bellinger now hurt after all his struggles all year, and then it comes down to one game. It's grossly unfair if you want to look at it from the competitive standpoint. But for where you and I sit here on Fox Sports Radio nationwide, it's about as good a live theater as we're going to get.
So again, we'll keep you updated on this. 5-5, top of the seventh inning. Giants threatening. We had a runner on second with two out. Now, before we get to the best trade for Ben Simmons, which is going to shock you, I always want to give all kinds of good news and good vibes when we can. And if you remember, it was a couple of weeks ago when longtime friend of the show, we talked to him during every NBA season, he's a regular guest, Sed Sabalos posted a really dire message on social media from the ICU. Again, it was on September 7th when he tweeted out, COVID is kicking my butt. I'm asking all family, friends, and prayer warriors, healers for your prayers and well wish for my recovery. If I have done anything to you in the past, allow me to publicly apologize. My fight is not done. And this was a very dire situation. Here it is. When you say, if I've done anything to you in the past, I apologize, this is when I don't know if I'm making it out. And it was a really rough road. And then Sed tweeted out today, after 20 straight days on death row, through his grace and your well wishes and prayers, I am home. I cannot thank each and every one of you enough for your help. The doctors and nurses did a great job, especially in my darkest days. After 20 straight days on death row. And Sed post picture of himself back looking good. And he is awesome news for Sed. Because I got to tell you, it was really worrisome for you. You put a post like that on social media, it's, oh my God. Are you at the end? Is it really? And to see him be able to get back from it. And today now he is home from the hospital. Oh, fantastic, Sed. Best news of the day. Easy.
Yeah, and now, you know, you have the momentary exhale, but a long journey, I'm sure, in terms of getting his, you know, lung capacity back and strength back and, you know, rehab. I'm sure that'll come out of that. I mean, 20 days in the ICU, but also living right, so a lot of people will benefit, you know, from the good works of said Sabalos. He was already an active guy in the community. Like, we talked to him all the time about some of the stuff he was doing. So I can only imagine what kind of intensity he brings to that of trying to put good into the world. And we hear that from a lot of folks that have gotten back out of the hospital after these issues over the last 18 months and in general, right? Whenever you have a health challenge, but certainly here the last 3 weeks, one of our own. Look, he'll be back on that bat cycle and into the studio later this fall. So I can't wait for that. But good luck to him and obviously best wishes to he and his family as they navigate this.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Awesome, awesome stuff. Keep going, Sed. Elsewhere in the NBA today, we talked about this last hour. Ben Simmons officially wants out of Philadelphia. Through sources, ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that Ben Simmons says, "I am never going to put on a 76er uniform again. I am not going to report to the team, and I will never play a game for the franchise again." He said he told management he has no plans to wear an NBA uniform again until he is moved to a new team. So now a week ahead of training camp, here's Ben Simmons throwing the gauntlet down. Now, we told you that Doc Rivers is the guy that spearheaded all of this because he couldn't just blow off a question about Ben Simmons being a championship point guard after the Sixers got knocked out of the playoffs. When everybody knew he had a bad playoff, now Doc Rivers, I'm going to throw him under the bus and say, I don't know the answer to that question. Dude, I get being honest and I like when people are honest, but is that really your job as a coach to sit there and say, yep, I'm going to throw Simmons under the bus? This is why we are where we are, because Ben Simmons could never go back. I could never go back and play for a coach after he said, I don't know how good you are. What do you mean you don't know? You don't know. Dude, I've been an all-star the last 4 years in this league. Are you kidding me? So I get it. We're here because of Doc Rivers. But if you're talking about the trade that makes the most sense, right? Now, when this whole Ben Simmons thing happened, I told you, the Warriors are the best fit, right?
The Warriors can offer. Did you see the Joe Lacob quotes later or earlier today?
Yeah. He was, I think maybe we might be able to make this happen. Like, I'm making a love connection.
Ready? Here we go. He told the San Francisco Chronicle's Rusty Simmons, quote, "In some ways, it really doesn't fit what we're doing. He makes a lot of money and doesn't really necessarily make us better. I put it into the ESPN trade optimizer, and it said that it wouldn't increase that. Like, if you got rid of Klay Thompson, so the salaries kind of matched, that it wouldn't improve the Warriors at all."
Yeah, see, I disagree. The Warriors are banking on the return of Klay Thompson, who hasn't played in 2 years. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they're banking on. You need something else. You need a guy who's going to be able to shut down the best guards in the Western Conference, because the Western Conference is loaded with great guards. Ben Simmons can do that. Ben Simmons doesn't have to worry about shooting. Yeah, I feel like I'm talking to third person. Ben Simmons doesn't have to worry about shooting. Ben Simmons doesn't need to shoot. Ben Simmons, he doesn't need to, because everybody else
you
is
put
shoot
yourself
on that team.
In the brain of Ben Simmons.
I know. Ben I'm just in the third brain. Ben Simmons doesn't like to do that. Ben Simmons doesn't want that. Ben Simmons doesn't need to change his game. He can stay the same guy he is. And on a team where there's other players who will shoulder the responsibility if things don't go well, this is where Simmons needs to be, right? So I said the Warriors are fine. And, maybe they're talking themselves into something that's not there. But, the Warriors better. But other trades that are out there, I've heard the Clippers have made some run the last couple of days. That makes sense. The Blazers make sense. C.J. McCollum is the guy that, hey, you can send him a guy that can score. And you put him on the Sixers, might be a better mix. Yeah, I get that. But really, if you're talking about a trade, the best trade that you could go out there is if it's Damian Lillard going to the Sixers instead of C.J. McCollum, right? Now, it's not because Damian Lillard is a guy that I want to get rid of, but Lillard, you know how tenuous his happiness in Portland is. There are stories that have gotten out the offseason, he's not happy. No, I'm happy. But he's not happy. No, I'm happy. Damian Lillard has tried to do the, hey, don't make me have to request to trade, but I will if I need to. That's kind of the line he's been towing over the course of the past couple of months. You know he's just waiting for the next time the Blazers stink, and then it's going to be, now you got to get rid of me, now you got to trade me. Right, so this is how it's going to end, because suddenly the Blazers aren't going to start out 17-0 and be the favorites to get to the Western Conference Finals and get to the NBA Finals. It's not going to happen. The Blazers are a good team. They have some pretty good players that I like, but they're not close to being one of the top teams in the conference. They're just not. They're not set up in that way. And so, you know, if you're just waiting for Damian Lillard to get to the point where he's going to request a trade, you got to get out in front of that. So Lillard for Simmons, number one, the salaries match. So you don't have to worry about so much, well, we're going to set a pick through here and this player's going through here. And number one for the Sixers, that's great, right? You got Lillard from the logo and Joel Embiid. That works, man. That absolutely works for Damian Lillard to try to chase his championship. That is 100% that works. Now, for the Blazers, you could say, oh, yeah, but Damian Lillard's better than Ben Simmons. Yeah, but you know Damian Lillard wants out. And if you trade Damian Lillard eventually, are you ever going to get a player back better than Ben Simmons? Just think about it. Because what you're going to get is some young players with promise who are not nearly going to be stars in the league. You're going to get first-round picks, and that's how it's going to go. And that's not enough. You can't get a package of play. What a great package we got that works in the NFL when you can get a couple of first-round picks that can fill some needs that you have. It works in Major League Baseball when you can get, we got a reliever and two starters, and boy, now our pitching staff looks great. You have to collect superstars in the NBA. And Ben Simmons is the closest thing to a superstar you're going to get when you trade Damian Lillard. If you tried to offer Damian Lillard somewhere to the Celtics, they're going to say, well, maybe Jaylen Brown, maybe Marcus Smart. No, that's not going to work. You want a guy that can come in and do some terrific things, and Ben Simmons can do some terrific things. He can dish, he can rebound, he can play great defense. He's the best player you're going to get. So if you're going to wind up losing Damian Lillard anyway, which you're just waiting for it to happen, and waiting for him to say, okay, I've had enough, we're not winning, the Lakers are still good, the Jazz are really good, the Nuggets are good, forget it, I need out. Now you're stuck, because now when you say you want out, teams aren't going to pony up enough, and they're going to try to just give you a bunch of crap. Well, here's three first-round picks, and here's a lottery unprotected first-round pick. Mm-hmm. No. You go make that trade when you can get the best player possible. You're not going to get a better player in a deal than Ben Simmons. So you strike while you can get a guy who's 6 years younger than Lillard, who you can come in and maybe be a linchpin, and maybe with a different kind of mix, things can work a little bit. You can always make up for Damian Lillard's scoring if you need to, but that's one of those things that NBA teams, you got to collect superstars. You have a chance to collect a 25-year-old superstar by trading a 31-year-old superstar who's going to want to trade at some point anyway. So why not do it?
Yeah, when you get down to NBA trades and we start getting into draft picks and future considerations and conditional things, it's just a muddled mess that really doesn't ever make you better. Unless the other team has a spate of injuries that causes those draft picks to suddenly be top fives, right? Otherwise, it's a roll of the dice, because we do this every year with the draft. Yeah, there's one or two guys that are second round picks or undrafted that come out of the weeds, but those are fewer and farther between. We don't have much of that. And past the lottery, very few guys become more than just a bit role player. So you're going power for power. I put the trade machine, right? I don't know of any other than ESPN's, not to promote them, but Simmons for Lillard, the analysis based on the projected rankings and per statistics that we've got, the Sixers would gain 6 wins and the Trailblazers would be 7 wins under. But you're trying to make salaries match without getting a bunch of stuff, right? Guys that won't be in a 7-man rotation in games that matter. Because really, that's what we get to in the NBA, right? Unless you get into a bit of a blowout situation, then maybe the 8th, 9th, 10th guys start creeping in and steal a few minutes. Otherwise, it shortens to next to nothing. So trading for a bunch of Jags ain't going to help you. So we got to figure out where you're getting a position player of you know, a power player in all of this. And the thing with Doc Rivers, to just pull it back to that comment, is while you may have some suitors, and I mentioned what Joe Lacob had to say, and maybe that's part of poker, I got to imagine he gets fined for even addressing it, or he should. Everybody else gets fined for quote-unquote tampering and all this nonsense, even though the players can go and say, hey, we're going to go hang out for a couple of weeks.
Is but it's kind of reverse
nah,
tampering.
We're just friends.
It's reverse tampering. He's saying, oh, maybe he's not a great fit. So I'm reverse tampering. So maybe he winds up being
okay. Oh, no, that's just it. Yeah, no, that's the Vegas misdirection here. We're not interested. You sure you're not interested? Let me get you in that car. Let me get you that trade right now. So I think there's a little bit of that. But in terms of teams that can pull this off, how many stars are out there? And this is a distressed property, so you're going to get a low ball offer, and you're going to have to do something else to make it up. You're not within 10%. Right, because don't you have to be within 10% of salaries? Because Lillard makes about $7 million more than Simmons does, so there will be additional compensation. But yeah, if you're convinced Lillard's going to want out, then yeah, start exploring it. Otherwise, I'd be curious to see what other would-be superstars could be in the mix for this, and what Philly can pull off. Because remember, you also have to make Embiid happy on the other side. Mm-hmm. As much as you may say, hey, we don't need to consult him, you're damn right you better consult him, because otherwise he's going to tell you to go blank yourself too.
Yeah, but you're going to say, hey, we're going to trade Ben Simmons. Great, thanks. Let me know who we get.
You think that's all? I don't think Joel Embiid at this point is that guy.
No, you've cleared it with me. We want to make sure. No, I'm good. Just let me know who we get. Right, but we're trading. But yeah, no, guys, I'm good. Go ahead, go make the trade. Let me know. I'm good. I'm good. That's how it works. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike and Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Garman. We're thinking about trading. Yes, you have my permission. Yes, 100%. But I didn't get to
finish.
Yeah.
But
I know
but you
gotta.
But whoever's coming back, you got to know what you're getting into too, though, right?
Wait, were you going to say
Seth
Curry?
You're not buying the house sight unseen.
Were you going to say Seth Curry? No, I was going to say Bet. Good. Go make it. Make the move. It's all good. 877-99 on Fox. Running your own business requires a lot of running around, from bookkeeping to client meetings. You run it all. By the time you need to hire, you've run out of energy. Luckily, with Indeed Instant Match, you immediately receive a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description the moment you sponsor a job. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. Hiring can finally run smoothly with Indeed. To learn more, visit Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Well, coming up next, we get back into the NBA. I'm telling you, Simmons for Damian Lillard. Just think about it and you'll agree. Mike said the word jag a couple of minutes ago. He's a jag.
A lot.
He's just a guy. There's an NFL quarterback that is getting all kinds of love after week two, and I'm going to tell you, he is just a guy. He's a jag. It's coming up next right here, Fox.
McCaffrey leaves the backfield, starts left, heads to the right, and the throw. Moore caught. Touchdown on a simple in-cut end zone.
Seriously.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. And wow, fireworks going to the bottom of the 8th inning in San Diego. Giants and the Padres tied at 5 apiece. Will Myers just saved a home run going up over the wall into the stands that would have given San Francisco a 6-5 lead instead. It is now tied at 5 apiece going to the bottom of the 8th inning. Looked like a clear home run, but he goes up over the wall and gets it. Luckily, he's tall. Didn't really have to jump that much, but, you know, gets his hand into the stands, and Dugar had a home run, but it's now 5-5 in the bottom of the 8th.
Oh my. Yeah, Johnson after the catch on the mound, just with the biggest grin in his world, going, yeah.
Wow.
And then you kept seeing the little exhale that he was doing while he's like, yeah, that's great. Like, man, that was wow.
And so, I think someone tried to throw like water or beer or something at him. Like, it all came flying out of the stands, like the first row after he caught him. Like, it's the home team that made the play. Why are you throwing stuff at
him? You know.
You made the play. You know, just really quick, before we get into a quarterback who's really a jag, this collapse by the Padres has been just one of biblical proportions, right? Because, look, they're hoping against hope to stay in the race here, and they're really not, because obviously the Giants or the Dodgers are going to get one of the wild cards. They already have clinched a playoff spot. And the Cardinals, so red hot, with 69 losses now, you're getting into a space where there's going to be about 10 games left, and the Padres, at best after tonight, would be 4 games out of the second wild card. So even if St. Louis goes 5-5 in the last 10 games, you're talking about having to close 9-1 to make the playoffs if you are San Diego. And they're a team that we thought for sure was going to be in the playoffs this year. They were either getting in, they were going to win the division, or they were getting in as a wild card. And what happened was, and look, I talk about emotion all the time, and when they tried to play the beginning of this season, they were all fired up with all their acquisitions, and here it is, and they played the first 100 games of the year with all kinds of emotion. And then after game 100, oh, we still got another 60 games left. Baseball is about winning every day, and you are not getting too high and not getting too low. And the Padres, every game was, look how good we are. We swept the Dodgers. Look at this. Look how excited things are. Yeah, it was great to see playoff-type baseball in April and May. It was nice, but the Padres never really figured out how to win in the dog days of August and into September and be able to put distance between you and the teams in front of them. They have all the talent they need, and you saw things boil over the other night when Machado and Tatis are getting into an argument on the bench. You had a lot of guys with different personalities, and hey, surprise, surprise, Manny Machado's not getting along with another player on the team. These are things that have to be solved, and I'll tell you, if the Padres blow it, the first guy who's going to be fired is Jace Tingler as Padres manager. He is the first, the day after the regular season, he may be the first guy that loses his job, because the Padres had all kinds of talent, and this is where you can focus on a team and go, all right, if such and such starting pitching was injured, how much of that is the manager's fault, right? That's kind of what you do. We had injuries here. You had a guy. How much of that is the manager's fault? Then you get to the point where it's, okay, if guys aren't having good years and they're not playing, how much of that is the manager's fault? Are they working enough with the players to not expand the strike zone and shorten swing? All the different things you would normally do. And then you get to the point of, you had all the talent, you had all the players, and you had guys getting in fights. Yeah, dude, this is kind of on you. And somebody else needs to come in to say, hey, we got a lot of great players. A different hand is going to come in and run this team. And because I can't say that you can say, what else do the Padres need? So if they fall short, he's going to be the guy that is going to bear the brunt of that.
Yeah, I mean, Tingler's saying, hey, we haven't lost this clubhouse. And look, sometimes a little bit of spirited words between some of your stars are good. And I think many have come to the defense of Manny Machado. I'll do that as well. This isn't about whether he's lazily running out a ball to first base or anything. It's a guy that's still about winning, and he's obviously had a great year. But Tatis Jr., sometimes I got to wonder in the clubhouse, it's like, you know, just stay consistent. All right, big numbers, but you're all the eyes are on you. So we gotta keep this clubhouse moving. And look, you pile up losses, and while you've had a great season overall, to see the distance between where they are and where the other two teams in the division are, I got to imagine you get to September and you'd had such a great start to things and first place for quite a long while that, yeah, you're going to have some emotions boil over. I would hope so. If you're still competitive, because if you just shrug your shoulder and go, yeah, you know, hey, if we get there, we get there. As far as the wild card, no, because you could still, if you get in, like, it's still about getting in, and one game you could do a considerable amount of damage, and you've got the sluggers, you've got the pitching to potentially be able to do it, assuming you get, you know, a good start from Snell, or if Yu Darvish has to be used, whatever. You've got personnel, so, you know, you got to keep our composure, to quote old school. But yes, I think Tingler would be the guy on the outs. Look at the way they finished this season, though. Right, you got San Francisco, and then you have the completion of a suspended game on the 24th, as well as a nightcap there against Atlanta, and then throughout the weekend with the Braves in town, and then 3 at the Dodgers to close out the regular season. That's just Twitter insane.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon again, and he's going to be the first guy. And then Luis Rojas is not too far behind him.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Sam Darnold is a Jag. He is just a guy. All right? He's just a guy.
So angry.
No. I'm telling, look, I like
Sam. Just because he's not your guy anymore
and you have a new fair-haired boy you want to dump on this.
Has Gascon triggered you? Is that what this is?
No, like Sam Darnold, he's a good guy. He is someone who always tried to do and say the right things in New York. He never rocked the boat, even when all kinds of craziness and instability was around him. He never once demanded anything. No, he tried to do the right thing, and his teammates like him. I like him. I want to see him succeed. He's a good guy. But he's not a really, really good quarterback, okay? Week one against the Jets are terrible. All right, the Jets' defense is awful. They're starting brand new players at cornerback, and the only pass that Sam Darnold threw that was worth anything was a wide open touchdown when our new free safety fell asleep and Robbie Anderson didn't have a guy within 30 yards of him. Okay, Darnold missed a lot of throws in that game. He wasn't great.
I could see the picture in your mind, and your voice went there. It's like, and I could see that guy 30 yards.
The Jets stink, okay? They stink. And Darnold was just okay. He left a lot of throws on the table. He was better last week. Threw for 300 yards, had a couple of touchdowns, okay? Sam Darnold is a player that if you surround him with great talent, much like any other quarterback, they're going to be okay as long as they're middle of the road. And that's Sam Darnold. He's just a guy. You're talking about plopping him on a team where I said, if you're a quarterback, you want to go to Carolina. Right? I said, of all the places you can go in the offseason, Denver and Carolina are your places because Denver's got great wide receivers and Carolina has weapons and a really good defensive line, right? You're talking about, at worst, the second best running back in the game in Christian McCaffrey, who you can rely on for 80 yards out of the backfield rushing and 70 yards receiving every single week. It's nice. You also have a couple of really good receivers. DJ Moore is a fantastic receiver, very underrated. He's really good. Robbie Anderson was Darnold's guy. He's a 1,000-yard receiver. You have a really good defensive line that puts all kinds of pressure on the other team. They were great in week one. They were great in week two. Yeah, Carolina kind of had it all working. Last year, they didn't have a quarterback that could throw the ball more than 5 yards. Teddy Two Gloves was done by week five. Oh, this is the guy we're going in on? And you knew right after the season was over, they said, we got to move on. We got to go get somebody else because this isn't working. And they went to get Sam Darnold. Is Darnold great? No. Is Darnold okay enough with good weapons around him that he's going to produce well enough? Yeah, he's a moderate quarterback. He's going to produce moderately. He will throw between 20 and 25 touchdowns this year. He'll throw about 10 or 11 or 12 interceptions, and that's going to be the production that you get, which is better than Teddy Bridgewater. And as long as Christian McCaffrey stays healthy, you're going to win a bunch of games. So yeah, Carolina's a great story, but they have way better weapons, and many guys could go in and play quarterback for that, which tells you about Teddy Bridgewater. Many guys could go in and play quarterback for that team and succeed and do really well. It just so happens to be Sam Darnold, but it's not like he's lighting the world on fire. But his storyline, the exodus from the Jets, how embarrassingly bad the Jets still are, you know, year 10 of a rebuild, which is the same thing as year one. Maybe someday, maybe we got the quarterback now. No, yeah, that's what gave this storyline all the juice. Look at Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold is just a guy. I call it like I see it. He's just a guy, a quarterback. Other guys could have stepped in and done the same moderate job that he has done so far with the team. And that's kind of the kind of job he's going to do all season.
2-0 in the Texans on tap. Thursday night, Davis Mills, your quarterback for the Texans as we get ready for week 3 of the National Football League season. How's that? That's like professional voiceover guy right there.
That was
completing
pretty good.
68%. That was good, yeah. I mean, the offensive line I still have some concerns and reservations about, but Christian McCaffrey's good enough to eliminate some of their deficiencies as a receiver out of the backfield. Completing 68% of his pass attempts thus far, and all those defenders that they drafted, you know, in Matt Rhule's first year starting to become players. I don't know what they are long term, but, you know, how many quarterbacks do we go through and say, well, you know, you just unfortunately went to a bad situation and, well, they're trash. Like, just look at Darnold, just take them with the Jets. Like, they can't get out. It's more of an indictment of your team than anything else. They can't get out of their own way. So how about you point you know, the fire back on them and what they can't do, as opposed to, you know, casting aspersions over what Sam Darnold might become. Because look, everybody needs a little bit of help, no matter what your line of work. See, this is how I bring everybody together, because we're broadcasting here. But especially at the quarterback position, give me a competent run game. Give me a couple of receivers that can go out and get it, and a defense that's going to keep me in a game where I don't have to, you know, throw 55 times. Yeah, that's a formula to win. I don't see why that's such a bad thing. We'll see when Sam needs to make a throw. Can he do it with this group of characters, whereas he saw ghosts while wearing a Jets uniform and admitted to such? Hopefully at least got some more media training so he doesn't say anything dumb like that again. But when we look at it going forward, and you referenced Trevor Lawrence, so I had to pass this along. Pro Football Focus, and some people have him as gospel, some throw it away. I'm kind of in the middle where it's at least an interesting data point based on what they watch and what they see. They say Trevor Lawrence is 36% of his pass attempts have been uncatchable. And I'll just leave it at that. That by far the highest rate in the league to this point.
Uncatchable.
Uncatchable balls. But when you get back to Sam Darnold, like, I don't know what this squad's going to become, but I'm intrigued. Right, they're 2-0. You mentioned Teddy Two Gloves. Well, he's 2-0 right now. The fact that they got to take advantage of Trevor Lawrence and those Jaguars, who had that one moment. Remember that one moment, that 25-yard touchdown pass? Everybody said, there he is. There's the Trevor I know. And then he was never seen again the rest of the game.
Never saw him again.
It's like he was abducted by aliens the rest of the way. But for Sam Darnold, look, he's in a division. They've got a shot to at least make a little bit of noise, right? Teddy Bridgewater, or I should say Jameis Winston and the Saints, I don't know what they are. Are they good? Are they bad? And we know the Falcons stink. Their defense is awful. They're already writing the same damn letter of apology that Urban Meyer is. So, you know, why not Carolina? Why can't they hang around? Here we go.
Oh, boy, Carolina. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. Look, I told you, he's just a guy. He's just a guy.
Coming up next. Field starts left.
Speaking, you know
right.
What? Screw and you, the Kaiser. Throat.
More caught touchdown.
Like I need
on
that
a simple
again.
In-cut end zone.
Yeah, nice. Coming up next, week 2 NFL I Told You So. Who are we getting to? Oh, we're going big game hunting next. This is Fox.
Second down and 28 for Wilson, dropping back, drifting left, throws a deep ball, near side intercepted. Yeah. Devin McCourty waits on it, runs it back right across the 45-40. McCourty with a sudden step, 35.
Come on.
Angles left across the field, tripped up by Wilson. The rookie quarterback sprinting downfield to make the tackle, but Devin McCourty has the fourth interception of the day for the Patriots.
J-E-T-E Jets!
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live from the Fox Sports Radio studio.
Struggling.
Yeah, a tie shirt.
Oh. So, Jay, it's like pondering anger. The question. Was it Brady or Belichick? Was it Sam Darnold or the Jets?
Yeah, it was Sam Darnold and the Jets. There's no...
I think it was the Jets.
It was both.
Bling,
Jets
ding,
are, Jets
ding,
are always
going
to Jets.
Hey, Mike, so Sam Darnold's team, what's their rating right now?
2-0, baby.
Thanks, my guy.
2-0. Getting ready to go 3-0 later on this week. That's David Culley and company.
T-shirt, you lose. You can't say what's a team's rating. Okay?
Why not?
No. That was
what's the Panthers' rating? They're rated 7 on a scale of 1 to 10.
Look, that's better. That better than having a guest on and saying, "Hey, what are the headlines?
What's the rating?"
Whatever you need to do in the process. I mean, at least T-shirt was engaged, that he understood Sam Darnold was playing well. Maybe it was my astute analysis that helped that. But look at that. He's paying more attention to sports and giving it the old college try here in week 3 of
your NFL
season.
Can you tell me what the rating is? What's the rating?
Jason, at least I'm trying more than your boy Zach, okay?
What's the rating? He's trying. He's just not succeeding.
Trying to throw it to the other team.
No, he's trying. He's trying. He's just not succeeding.
Wow.
It's two different things. He's succeeding in keeping both teams in the game. Quick update right now for you. Bottom of the 9th inning. Giants lead the Padres 6-5. They pushed across a run in the top of the 9th. What looked to be an easy ground out to start the bottom of the 9th goes under Brandon Crawford's glove. So
MVP, the Padres, right?
Yeah, he makes an error. It's okay. Everything else is fine. His WAR is like 11. So yeah, I'm pretty okay.
No,
with
what's going to be great is your guy Bryce Harper's going to win it, and then you're going to cry.
No, he's not going to win. Come on, it's not happening. So again, San Francisco, San Diego, 6-5, bottom of the 9th. If the Padres win, we have a tie with the Dodgers and the Giants at the top of NL West. Now, week 2 NFL, I told you so, and I'll start with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right, the story today, yeah. Ben Roethlisberger dealing with a pec injury. This is why I told you after week 1, I told you, I'm still not believing in the Steelers. Their offense is not very good. They can't run the ball through 2 weeks. Najee Harris is just a guy. We've said that a lot tonight. He's not run with the explosiveness and the success they've hoped because the offensive line is not good. Roethlisberger got hit 10 times on Sunday, and now he's hurt. Okay, and the defense had a reality check against the Raiders. Now, the Raiders may be really good, but the defense did not play well just after they played so well against the Bills. And now Roethlisberger is hurt. It's why I told you the Steelers can finish last in the North this year because Roethlisberger, forget about the end of the season when he can't throw the football because you know that's happening because it was like that last year. It could happen now. We could see Dwayne Haskins by week 11. We could see Dwayne Haskins in week 4. I mean, really, that's why I'm not buying the Steelers. They have a lot of problems right now.
Reconstituted offensive line, waiting for that to click. Might be waiting a little bit longer. Obviously, for week 2 against the Raiders, no Joe Hayden, no Devin Bush, and then TJ Watt goes out with the injury. Obviously, the third one's the one you're watching in terms of any long-term ramifications there. I still think the Bengals will finish worse than them, but that's a whole other discussion for another time. As it goes for Ben Roethlisberger, I was far more bullish than you were. In terms of his ability to push forward. And it was a painful effort on Sunday, not just because he took a bunch of hits, but also just trying to watch that offense sputter like an old car on the 405 here in Los Angeles, as you would if you were elected legislate that they can't run on the 405. But unless they get caught on fire on the side of the road. Roethlisberger looked like in week 2.
Yeah.
The car that you see on fire and you just see the poor guy or woman standing next to it going, yep, it's final.
The other big week 2, I told you so. Ezekiel Elliott. His contract is going to be the bane of the Cowboys' existence for the next 2 years until they can get out of it. He is just a guy. Again, he's been just a – so many people are just a guy. He has been just a guy. He doesn't look special. He doesn't make anyone miss. He doesn't get extra yards. Dallas blew the Chargers' line off the ball on Sunday. Tony Pollard had 3 less carries and 38 more yards. All right, Elliott is someone who signed for the big money, and now you're seeing after 2020 into 2021, he's just as productive as any other average running back in the NFL. This is why you don't pay a running back that kind of money. I feel bad for running backs, but this is what the NFL that merits that this position is going to get paid this amount of money. Because the likelihood of decline because of either injury or ineffectiveness is so great at running back. How often do guys stay great for years and years? No, guys either get dinged up or they get paid and they stop, right? Like Chris Johnson got paid and he just stopped. I don't even know line with the football between 2 arms and falling down. I mean, this is what Zeke is. This contract is going to be at just an anchor that's going to drag Dallas to the bottom for the next 2 years, because Zeke is just a guy. You got a guy you're paying no money to in Tony Pollard, who's been better now since 2020.
No, that's it. Dollar cost averaging. We were the first to tell you about Tony Pollard. You can still go get him on your waiver wire, available in about 55% of leagues at Yahoo, and we know the scope of that. So the opportunity there. But yeah, Zeke, the best thing he does is block. And that ain't showing up in a box score.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Coming up next, my buddy Ben Maller. This is Fox.